but I'm going to read to you in Exodus 11:5, the beginning, one more time. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne. If you recall from this series of messages, what this basically says, those of you who have agreed, those of you who see the simplicity and the necessity of what the Lord is proposing to us, have realized that your Pharaoh is now dead. However, that solves one problem and creates several others. Because all your life, your passion, your temperament, and your disposition has been patterned after Pharaoh. Now, what are you going to do now? See, that's the one thing that amazes me about Christians. All their life long, they come to realize, once they hear the truth, that they really have not been making their own decisions. You come to realize that it's really you're the product of the training that you've had all your life. You've come to realize that not only are you acting just like your mother and father because that's who trained you, but you're also passing it on to your children, and everybody's acting like they're training. For some reason, we don't see that we as human beings do not have the ability to conjure up an original thought. We have to be taught everything. When they hand you that child the first day in the hospital or sometime thereafter, that child has no control over anything. Can't talk, doesn't know how to eat, doesn't know how to do anything. And from that moment on, everything that it ever does, from that moment on, it has to be taught. Now, once we get to this point in any series of messages and you realize that you're a product of your training, almost all Christians, having realized how silly they were not to see that they couldn't train themselves, they couldn't figure out life for themselves. Not even do they have the ability to figure out how to do wrong by ourselves. Yet once you learn this truth, all of a sudden, we don't want to be told by anybody or anything how to do right. See, now we've got this thing made now. Now we've realized where our bad training came from. We realize what our passion and our temperament and our disposition is. And we recognize that Pharaoh, our kin, the family that we grew up in, is the trainer in all of that. But I think you lose one very important point, and that is there's nothing you say, do, or believe that you were not taught. Now, I want you to understand, if you think you can come to this point and truly get rid of Pharaoh and then go off and be this entity that's all by yourself, autonomous from everything, just you and your Bible, just you and the Lord is all it takes for you to become a spiritual genius. Well, it didn't take just you and the devil for you to become a jerk. You needed some help. You needed parents that would teach you every day how to have bad habits. You need someone to reward the wrong in you. You needed someone to flatter you. You needed someone to show you passions. You needed someone to show you how to be wrong. And it took a lot of years for you to learn it. And then all of a sudden, now that it's come time to get rid of that, and the Lord is offering you the same thing in order for you to learn to do right, all of a sudden, you're a spiritual genius. And you get afraid of starting a cult. You think all of a sudden that you can learn by yourself. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This passion and temperament and disposition of Pharaoh, if you think about it, the passion is all of the emotions. Whatever love, however you manifest love. I don't know what you love or how you love, and I don't even care. Although now I know in this world, and it's always been this way, there are some weird ways for us to express our love. And they're as many and varied as there are people. Now, how you particularly do it is the sum total of how you were taught. But now that you've dumped that, how are you going to learn? Who's going to teach you now? You weren't smart enough to learn it on your own to begin with, how to be wrong. How are you going to learn to curb these emotions and these passions? And then your temperament, which is your customary frame of mind, or the custom and habit that your family taught you, what are you going to do now that you don't have it? What are you going to pull, another habit out of the clear blue sky and decide, I'm going to be this way? You see, it would be nice if it works that way, but it does not. You're just as much in need of a teacher to learn to do right as you ever were for a teacher to learn how to do wrong. Now that your disposition of Pharaoh is gone, and now that you no longer serve the God of the lower world, what God are you going to serve? You? You all of a sudden become the one who can make all of the decisions? Now that you don't live in depression and depressed spirits and melancholy, now that you no longer want to live in Hades, the place where dead people go, the home of the dead. I know America's called the home of the brave, but let's get serious here. You live in the home of the dead. Now that your disposition is no longer to control the movement and the behavior of everyone around you, now that you no longer have flattery in order to manipulate, and praise in order to win favor, and you no longer have a way to satisfy your senses in order to please and gratify, what are you going to do? Now that your past training and your habits are dead, what will you do? You aren't being led by Pharaoh anymore. See, all your life you've been led by someone else. Now you are free from your stupid past, and you think you're no longer in need of guidance. And now you start living in a stupid present. And that's why sometimes children, having rebelled, and they will, wait till they're teenagers, having rebelled from the way you taught them, they'll now start following their peers. They'll start following rock groups. They'll cut their hair like, make it purple, green, they'll shave their heads, they'll put holes in their clothes just to be led and to be like somebody else. Why? Because you don't understand that we all need guidance. We all need day-to-day guidance, or you can't do right or wrong. You can't do anything without being guided. Now, God recognizing that, the job wasn't over when Moses finally prevailed through the word on Pharaoh and the people left. The job wasn't over. As a matter of fact, the job was just beginning. We don't know exactly how long it took from the time that Moses first spoke to Pharaoh and the time that people finally left. I suspect it wasn't a very long time. But we know that once they were out of bondage, it took another 40 years before they, and it was only a three-week journey. It took 40 years to do it. So you see, the Lord understands and knows that you need guidance once you're out of bondage more than ever. Because if not, you'll just wander in the wilderness the rest of your life. Now I'm going to share with you the provision that the Lord made, and it hasn't changed. Exodus, the 13th chapter, and verse 21. This is where we need to be right now, if in fact you have agreed with the messages up to this point. Exodus 13:21 says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light in order to go by day and night." Now understand what this says. This says that the Lord was going before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. Now this wasn't an individual, this was the Lord going by day in a pillar of a cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. Now verse 22 says, "He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So in other words, it's still there. That's the way God still leads you once you come out of bondage. Now, to those of you who have come out of bondage in this series of messages, I hope you pay attention, because this is what it's going to take to keep you out. He says, "The Lord went before them by day." The word day means in the daytime, in the light time hours, but it also means daily. Every day the Lord went before them in a pillar of a cloud. Now this word pillar, I love this word. It comes from a Hebrew word that means a platform. It means one who stands and is ordained to stand on a platform. That's what the word pillar means. In other words, he says, you're going to need some guidance. And it's going to be daily guidance. And it has to be someone in whom the Lord is. And he says, the Lord went before them in the pillar of a cloud. Now, I am not the pillar. This platform, this pulpit, represents the elevated position of our God and our Father. Now, why is it so difficult for you to believe that God could speak through this wood? When we tell you the story of Moses in the burning bush, you buy that one, all right? Now, I have never claimed to be directly from Hollywood, but I think, probably, you could get at least as much benefit by listening to me as you could by a burning bush. Because, you see, it's the one who's speaking and what's being said that's important. So he said, by day, I'm going to be on a platform. I'm going to be before you. Before means in your face, by the way, on a platform, on a stand, one who stands, one who is ordained to stand. Now he says, in the day, this one who stands, this pillar, this platform, and the one that stands on it is the pillar of a cloud. In other words, during the daytime, this is when things are going pretty good. He says, in that time I will be in the pillar and the stand of a cloud. Now, cloud means nimbus or thundercloud. In other words, when you come to church or when you call 442-7677, it's my job to rain on your parade. Cloud also means to cover or cloud over by acting covertly. Now, basically, what this says, God says, I am going to test your faith by picking the most unlikely individual in the most unlikely setting, and I am going to tell you things that you cannot deny that could come from anywhere else but God and test your faith thereby. In other words, he acts covertly. Now, for those people that think that Jesus comes in a vision and dreams, and he comes in all these wonderful miracles, then they haven't read this. Now, he does come and do miracles, but he comes through people you would to test your faith. Now, this cloud means also Jah has covered, J-A-H, which is where we get our word Jehovah. In other words, God will come in the most unlikely individual. I'm an undercover. I'm 007. I'm undercover agent. The person you would least suspect of knowing anything is the one the Lord uses. And then he puts him on this platform right before you, in front of your face, and rains all over your parade. How many times people have said, you know, I wanted to talk to you, but now that the message is over, every question that I had has been answered. I didn't know the answers. I didn't even know the question. So you see, God says, during the day, when things are going good, I come in the pillar of a cloud. And I come to lead them the way. Lead means to guide and to transport, to get you from one place to another, but it also means to govern. Now, does this mean govern you as individuals? No. What it means is someone has to govern the act of transporting, or you'll be all over creation. You see, if I were to tell the children, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese, and I'll meet you there and just open the door, they take off everywhere that there is. And some of them would get there and some wouldn't. So you see, once we decide where we want to go, somebody has to be in charge of getting us there. But I don't decide where we're going or where you're going. I just decide where I'm leading. I decide where I'm going. So you see, God says, you need someone to guide you and to transport you from bondage into rest. Because this wilderness thing can consume your entire life. You can waste your whole life trying to figure your own way out of the wilderness. Now, this nation of Israel took 40 years to make a 3-week trip. And they had every kind of skill that you could have. There was 5 or 6 million people. Now, you would think somebody would have had a map. You would think somebody would have known, well, it's that direction. And yet it took them 40 years before they ever reached the destination. Why? Because they didn't want to be led. They didn't want to be governed. They didn't want to be carried from one place to another. Now, it was all right when Pharaoh was making all the decisions. That was all right. Because Pharaoh said, you're defeated, you're in bondage, you'll always be our slaves, you can never expect any better than it is right now. So it took the suspicion out, took the suspense out of it. And now the Lord says, you trust me on a day-to-day basis, and I'll get you where we're going. And you horoscope people don't want to wait. You want to know what day, what time, what place, how is this all going to work? I want to know in advance. And God says, no, I'm going to lead you by day in a pillar of a cloud. And if you don't want to be led by a pillar of a cloud, then I'll lead you by a pillar of fire. And he says, I want to lead you in the way. Now, the way doesn't just mean to get from one geographical place to another. Way means a road, but it also means a course of life or a mode of action. In other words, he says, I have to teach you how to act. I have to teach you how not to kill yourself in the wilderness. I have to teach you how to get from one place to another. Now, he said, for those that don't want to listen by day, maybe you'd rather be led by night. Now, he said, and by night, he says, I'll lead you by day in a pillar of cloud and by night in a pillar of fire. Now, the word night means adversity. In adversity, I will lead you by a pillar of fire. Adversity means a state of wretchedness or misfortune. It means poverty and trouble. In other words, God is saying plainly and simply, if you will not let me lead you when things are going good, you'll beg me to lead you when things are going wrong. But either way, you're going to be led. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? See, God says you can choose to take your daily bread and be led daily in a pillar of a cloud, or you can wait till you get thoroughly lost in a state of wretchedness or misfortune, in poverty and trouble, then I'll come to you in a pillar of fire. Now, there are people who are in both sides of this right now. Some of you are still in the day, in your health, in your marriages. There's still hope. And then there have some that have been waited until it's night. They waited until they got to a state of wretchedness or misfortune. They've waited till they came to a place of poverty and trouble. But in the final analysis, who are you going to turn to besides the Lord? See, he's going to get you one way or the other. This night or adversity, poverty means that state where you're deficient in necessary properties or desirable qualities. That's when you cannot lead your family the way you ought to. You are deficient in the necessary properties. You don't have the desirable qualities. You're in a state of poverty. Now, you didn't start out that way. When we first started, your marriages, your health, everything was intact. And somehow or other, you thought that once having extricated yourself from that, now all of a sudden, from here on in, you could take over. And all that happens is Satan comes and he says, oh, it was a kin. You've realized this preacher taught you that it was one of your relatives that led you astray. One of your blood relations. Yes, we'll not make that mistake again. Who's going to lead you now? I am. We still got a blood relative, don't we? From the same training and the same background. You stupid. You see how subtle Satan is? He appeals to your ego and your pride. And he's smart enough to know that the only reservoir you have to call on for passion, temperament, and disposition is your original training, because you ain't learned diddly yet. You don't know nothing. So now instead of the kin, the individual that you've crowned, someone in your past, it becomes you. And sometimes a man will transfer that and give it to his wife. Take it away from mama and give it to mama. Or sometimes they'll take it away from dad and give it to husband. You see, a pharaoh is a pharaoh is a pharaoh. And it doesn't matter how close or how distant the relationship, the end result is going to be the same. So you see, you get to this state of poverty where you finally realize that you are deficient in the necessary properties or desirable qualities. You get to a state of misfortune, which means everything you do doesn't work. You also come to a state of trouble. That's what adversity means, or the word night. Trouble means to be disturbed and agitated. Now, I know you were disturbed and agitated before you became a Christian about all the things that went on around you. And you hated it when your boss or somebody told you what to do or pointed out your faults. And now you've become a Christian and you hate it when the preacher points out your faults. You still get disturbed and agitated by the truth. You've been disturbed and agitated by the truth all your life. Why? Because you've been brought up on flattery. You can't digest the truth. All you understand is the flat caressing, the caressing with the flat hand, an insincere flattery that tells you how wonderful you are. And yet the sad fact, the reality of your life stinks. And you're anything but wonderful. But it still disturbs you and agitates you, to be told. Trouble also means that causes mental agitation. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is all your life, people lying to you caused you mental agitation. Now, I know it was good to begin with, but ultimately it didn't serve, did it? So when people told you lies, it caused you mental agitation. Now you have mental agitation when people tell you the truth. You're sick either way. Trouble also means that causes pain or discomfort. Trouble means that causes difficulty or inconvenience. It means an illness, an ailment, or a disease. In other words, God is saying some of you will not be led until you get into adversity. Some of you don't even want to talk until you get into adversity. Sometimes I feel like a fireman, you know that? And the difficulty with it is you have to do the same thing over and over with the same people, over and over again. So he said, by night, in your adversity, since you won't be led when things are going right, as soon as you mess them up because you're not being led right, then you're in the pillar of fire. Then he says, I'll send you a pillar of fire. Now this pillar is still a platform. It still means someone who stands, who is ordained on a platform. That's still the pillar, but now it's a pillar of fire. Fire means a burning, flaming, hot entity. Now remember before I was a cloud, a covering cloud, something to keep you camouflaged, keep you covered, keep you cool, keep you from the hot sun, keep you from the discomforts of life. But you don't want that. So he says, now, he said, I have to lead you with a burning, flaming, hot entity. Well, what does entity mean? It means a being. A thing that has definite individual existence in reality is an entity. Being is one who exists or lives, a human being. He said, I'm going to have to send you a burning, flaming, hot human being. and I'm going to stand him on that pillar, that platform before you, and he's going to be there in order to give you light to go by day and night. In other words, you don't want to go with comfort. You see, if you had any sense at all, you would let the cloud lead you. Now, these people were out in the wilderness, in the desert, which probably 150 degrees Fahrenheit during the day probably was no big thing. 130, 140, 150. Now, the Lord says, I'll tell you where I want you to be, because there's going to be a big cloud. And underneath that cloud is what? Shade. Cool shade. Now, he says, those of you who have any sense at all will know that wherever there's comfort, wherever you're not in the burning hot sun, whenever you're in that condition, you know you're where I want you to be. But you see, people are too smart for that. He says, I want you to understand that I want to lead you to comfort. The burden is easy. The yoke is easy and the burden is light. But see, some of you don't want to do it the easy way. So he says, to those, I have to give them a pillar of fire. But the end result, God's goal in each case, is to give them light. That's what the last part of verse 21 says. To give them light to go by day and night. In other words, God says, without light, you're not going, whether it's day or night. And incidentally, he says, I have to give them light. Give means to assign. I assign them light. I deliver them light. I send them light. See, you cannot decide who your light's going to be. God says, I give them light. Now, I can tell you when you're not in the light that God gave you is when your marriage, your health, your job, and all your circumstances are going down the tubes. You don't have any light. You're not in the right place. Now, he says, during this day or night, whichever you prefer, I'm going to give you light. Now, this doesn't mean a flashlight, and it doesn't mean a miner's hat with a big beam on. That's not what it means. The word light means a luminary. I'm going to give them a luminary. Now, a luminary, by definition, means a person who sheds light on some subject. It also means a person, a luminary, is a person who enlightens mankind. In other words, what God is saying here, you need for me to send you a person to shed some light on this thing. How many more years are you going to mess it up without realizing you need help? You didn't mess it up by yourself, and you're not coming out by yourself. You need a luminary. You need someone to shed some light on that subject. Well, you say, well, nobody knows me better than me. That's right. Nobody knows how to make a mess out of your life better than you do. All you have to do is look at your life. That's my best case. I rest my case. So you see, what you need a person who sheds some light on the subject. You're groping around in the dark. You cannot find your way without a luminary. In other words, what God is really saying, the task before us is even greater once you get out of the bondage than when you were in the bondage. You need a luminary more now than you needed to get out of bondage. All it took is some plagues. Look, God didn't even deal with the people when they were in bondage. He dealt with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh ultimately has no choice in the matter. And I'm going to guess, my guess is it took 3 weeks from the time Moses went in to the time the people left. That's just a guess. 3 months, whatever turns you on. Suffice to say that to get them out of bondage did not take 40 years. See, because when the Lord is dealing with Pharaoh, he uses power, he uses the plagues. He's not fooling around. That's the easy job. Man, there's nothing to that, relatively speaking. But some of you have been in the wilderness, and I can't move you for hell nor high water. Why? Because God loves you so much that he's not going to force you to do anything. He's not going to threaten and intimidate you and make you do something against your will. He's simply not going to do it. So now we have this difficulty that forever faces the preacher of the Word of God. How is he going to deal with this individual who has been given in Christ Jesus dominion and power over his own body? And he can say no to God if he feels like it. And yet I have the task to continue to reason with that individual. I have the task to listen to all their ridiculous excuses and try to find an answer for that. And hopefully one day they'll run out of stupid excuses. And some, once they run out of stupid excuses, just flat say, well, I've changed my mind. I don't think the Lord wants me here. See, the sad fact of the matter is, getting out of bondage is easy. Now, for those of you that just made the transition, whoever you are, I want you to understand that the job is before us. Now, you need a luminary. You need guidance more than ever now. If not, you're going to spend your life in the wilderness. You'll never get into rest. Your carcass will fall in the wilderness, and you'll hold up the rest of us in the process. See, the Lord says, I want to give you light so that you can go by day and night for this 3-week journey. How long have some of you been fooling and messing around, trying to figure your own way out? Most of your lives. Now, I want you to understand what you're facing here. Exodus 13:22 takes away any thought you might have that somehow we're going to get in a new dispensation and you're going to get around yours truly. Verse 22 says, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God did not take it away. It's not taken away now. He says this pillar, this platform, this place where this entity, this being stands, is still here. You can go to any church you want, anywhere that you want, and you'll always find a platform. I have never been to a church where the pews are higher than the pulpit. Now, why do we all decide on platforms, isn't it? Because there's somebody bigger than you and I making the decisions, that's why. So he says now, this, I didn't take away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So he says, you might as well get used to the fact that in the daytime, while things are going good, daily, you're going to have a pillar in the cloud. And if that turns you off, then go ahead. You'll mess up, and then you're going to have the pillar of fire by night, that burning, flaming, hot entity, that burning, flaming being who lives and exists, that human being that's going to put the heat on you. And it's just simple words is all it is, but it twists you and turns you inside. And you try to find ways. Is there any way? Maybe something will happen and I won't be able to make it today. And somehow or other, even if you don't make it, somehow or other, the Lord gets the message to you. Now he says, I am not going to take away, I have not taken away the pillar of the cloud nor the pillar of fire. He said it's before the people. Now the word before is an interesting word because that's where the pillars are, both of them. And yet it's one individual. It's not two people. It's one individual. And he says, this pillar needs to be before the people. You know what the word before means? In the face of the people. Now, right now, there's no one in this room that is facing anyone else except me. Now, if you think about it, there's not a person in this entire room who's facing you, who's in your face right now. Now, some people have their back to you. But nobody is facing you. Now this word before also means to face the people indoors. It also means to confront face to face, confrontation. He says, I have not taken this pillar away from the confrontational situation that is necessary because you won't get it any other way. And he says, this confrontation is always and ever before the people. The word people means a congregated unit, a flock. He says, I have to have a human being who's either a flaming hot entity, for those of you that are theological geniuses, or a cloud to give you comfort and to cover you. Someone who can give you assurance that the Lord is with you. Someone that can help you with whatever you need, whether it's a $5 loan or a $5 gift. See, the Lord wants you to understand that without guidance from Him, you will never make it. And it's so easy to be in the will of God. Sometimes people will tell me, well, boy, brother, I sure would like to be in the will of God. I say, well, that's great. I'm glad I'm in the will of God. Well, how do you know? Peace. Shade. Comfort. Well, I'm suffering the trials and tribulations. Well, you're not in the peace of God then. You haven't found God's will for your life. See, why would God take you out of bondage where they got beat every day, whether they had it coming or not? Where they got treated like stepchildren? Why would He take them out of that and put them out in the wilderness so He could do it? Now, sometimes the wisdom that we display as human beings is laughable. And you know what amazes me? And this is true of everybody in this room, as I recall talking to you. Now, some maybe I haven't talked to. But no matter what's going on in your life, you have found someone to blame it on. In other words, whenever you do anything wrong, it's never your fault. It's always someone else who taught you or did it. It's always someone else. And you know something? I agree with that. Somebody taught you to do that. And then now that it's time for you to learn how to do right, you're not having no teacher. In other words, what Satan is really saying is, if you finally have gotten wise to the point that you will not accept one of mine as your teacher, then the wise thing to do is accept no teacher at all. Now, when that happens, you make all your own decisions. And the minute you do that, you'll do according to your past training. And you know, the saddest thing I think in the whole world is a Pharaoh who's their own Pharaoh. Isn't it sad when you see a human being who breaks away from their past, cuts the ties with wives and families and what have you, and then becomes in bondage to themselves? How sad. At least the other way you had company. What a genius. What amazing. But now you're all alone, and you're still making the same stupid mistakes. Got nobody to blame now. Well, somebody's doing it. It's you, dummy. See, all this time, you were teaching yourself and telling yourself that your behavior was someone else's fault. And now that you're all alone and your behavior is worse, whose fault is it now? Well, it isn't anybody's now. See, can you see that there's absolutely no logic and no thinking in that kind of mentality? See, this pillar, this guidance that we need, he says, it's just for the congregation, for the people. People means a congregated unit, a flock. Congregated comes from the word congregation. Now, this pillar is for the congregation. And congregation means an assembly or gathering of people for religious worship or religious teaching. As a matter of fact, it's religious worship and religious teaching. You cannot have one without the other. So you see what the Lord is saying here. You needed teaching in order to make all the stupid mistakes you've made. And now you're going to need teaching in order to make the right decisions. You know, sometimes people amaze me with their mentality in that area. I'll give you an example. Some of you have been in counseling literally for years. Some of you have been in this church for 2 or 3 years now. And you still don't quite have it. You still don't quite know. Say, well, I'm getting it. Boy, the Lord is dealing with me. I'm getting there. Now, I've looked back on this thing. You realize that we have approximately 4 hours a week of intensive preaching and teaching in this church. 4 hours a week. That's 16 hours a month, or almost 200 hours a year. Not counting all the hours of one-on-one counseling. And you still don't know how to do right. But boy, how to learn wrong. You sure got that in a hurry, didn't you? You watched someone light one up and you said, hey, that looks cool. How do I learn that? Well, I'll watch them, see, and I'll see how they do it. And then I just imitate them. How many of you went to inhaling school? How many of you went to drunkenness 101? So someone could teach you how to drink. No, you just watched someone and then you imitated them. That's all you did. Now you come to the church, and the Lord is trying to show you how simple it is to get out, and all you have to do is watch and imitate. Listen and imitate. That's all. But some of you pull out your tablets and your slide rules, and you want all these magical formulas. I want to be sure I'm in the will of God. Is this right? Carry the one. How about this? Oh, carry two. I said, why are you doing it? It didn't take you that to mess up. How many people give that much thought to doing wrong? You just find someone that's doing wrong. You find someone that's doing the wrong you want to do. And then you watch them. And then you imitate them. Wham, you got it. You've graduated into wrong. But then we sit down and you say, you know, I really want out of this problem. And we go into this laboriously long, tedious exercise in which Einstein wouldn't ask as many questions as you do. Sometimes I think they must be building a robot. We can't be talking about this individual. They're building something there. This is very technical. And my question is, it didn't take all of that to learn your faults and your vices. I mean, you lit one up and inhaled a couple times and man, you're off to the races. And the Lord says, look, you can kid yourself all you want. I'm going to take a platform, and I'm going to put an example on it, and I'm going to tell him to tell you what to do, and you got to hear it and imitate. That's it. Now, you can put your tablets away. You can put away all your stupid questions. They're nothing more than a facade to justify staying in the wilderness incessantly and forever. You want to be in the wilderness. You ask all these silly, nonsensical questions. And it didn't take any of that for you to get into this business that you're in. I am convinced that the biggest experts, at least they think, on how not to get addicted to drugs are people that are addicted to drugs. You know why? They don't think they're addicted to drugs. They can take it or leave it. Sure. Sure, you take it and then you leave it, don't you? And then you take it again. See, that individual never has a problem. Oh, I just do it for social reasons. Now, what's social about throwing up? What is social about taking all of your money and throwing it away on something that's going to cause you to stink up your clothes? There's nothing social about that. The fact and the reality of the matter is that you can't do right and you can't do wrong without guidance. That's how stupid we are. totally incapable of doing one or the other without day-to-day guidance. We need guidance to do either one. It amazes me why people cannot see the simplicity of that. It amazes me why people will fight that incessantly and constantly. Having the past history of their own life and what a mess it's been, somehow they still think it's going to get better somewhere over the rainbow. Well, it's not going to get better by itself. You're going to have to find and imitate someone that does it different, or you're going to stay the same. And in closing, let me say this. There are people, and I know who they are. I don't know mentally, but God knows who